Today's daf from the Sechet Eruvin, which is brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and we are at Chof Aleph, but we're still holding at the bottom of Chof Amud Beis. So we're getting to the bottom of all of the issues of the Pasei Berot. Where exactly do we have the Heter of Pasei Berot? How are you allowed to get this water to your animal in a practical fashion? And we started off talking about the Adam. What's the din of the Adam himself? So let's start three lines up from the bottom on the Chof Amud Beis. On Rav Yitzchak Bar Hada, this Heter of Pasei Berot is only for Ole Regalim. Now, we know that, but I mean, we thought until now that it might be only for Behema. We've only been talking about Behema. And indeed, it says in the Braita that it was only Mutter for Behema. So when you say Ole Regalim, I mean, we don't usually refer to the animals as Ole Regalim. We talk about people or Ole Regalim. Yes, it means the animals of Ole Regalim. But remember that this din is a special dispensation, like many of the other dinim that are dispensations. And because of that, it's only for where it's necessary. A human, why do we need to be mater, that kind of thing, for him? What you could do as a human is you can climb into that boar and you can be metapes viole, metapes viored. You can stick your hands on the sides of the boar and creep your way down till you get to the water. You don't have to take it out into the Rishus HaRabim and therefore do that. Okay, the question over here is that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yehuda said that the water in a Pasei Beraot is only mutter to make Pasei Beraot if it is actual fresh well water. Now, if it is water that is made for an animal, what do you care whether it's muddy water or it's fresh water? Does it really make any difference? I mean, who cares? Yes, because we need it to be something that is chazi la'adam. Now, Rashi understands this to mean that because the chashivus of the mechitza is because of the water has to be impressive water. It's as simple as that. And if this is not water that could be used by an Adam, it's not very impressive water. So, I mean, ultimately, he may be taking into consideration the fact that, remember, this needs to be hukaf ledira. And so if the Adam is not going to be using it, maybe it doesn't have the chashivas of a hukaf ledira. Not 100% clear what he's saying. Tosis attempts to explain it. Doesn't really come across all that well. But it may well be that the Adam personally doesn't have the heter, but it needs to be the water that is the chashivas for the Adam. Okay, anyway, getting into the sugya. So we said that the Adam can be metapis velo, metapis viorid. What about if it's simply too wide of a well? And he can't really climb down there by putting one hand against one wall, one hand by the other wall, and Rashi uses the word creep, creeping his way down. He can't do that. So if he can't do that, then of course, if he's allowed to bring it for his animal, he could certainly bring it for himself. So then it would be for himself too. And then we finally get to the braita. We spoke yesterday, remember, about that braita that says you're not allowed to put water in front of your animal, right? Well, wasn't that the whole point of Pasei Berot, that you are allowed to put water in front of your animal? That's where Abaye came up with his answer, and that was a pretty little picture that they had such a difficult time making, because remember, when they were actually using printing, they had to actually make a stamper out of metal that would actually show that little para, which is why those are very, very primitive kind of drawings in the older prints. So that was the famous Erevin drawing of the moo. It looks like, it always looks like a cow has got a little moo thing coming out like in a comic book, which is supposed to be the avos that it's eating from. It's very sweet. But anyway, so the idea over there was that, remember, it was talking about a Rishus HaYachid. The trough itself is a Rishus HaYachid. The guy wants to move his bucket by putting it on the trough inside of the diyumdim, between the diyumdim. So it's Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. Then he wants to move the bucket along the trough till he gets to the window that the animal is supposed to be in, a window with its head sticking out into the trough. And that's really mutter. And yet, somehow or other, Brighta says, no, you can't do that. So we explained it to mean it has nothing to do with the sugya pasuk beirot. It's simply because we're afraid that what's going to happen is that if at one point the trough is stuffed up and you can't get your bucket along it or whatever, you may take the bucket out, put it on the ground, then you'll pick it up and put it back in after you fix up the trough, which of course will be carried from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. But it's a total, no connection whatsoever to our sugya. It's just simply a different gezeira. Anyway, let's get on to the next thing, which is Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav. Is there a din of Paseh Beiraot when it comes to Chutz La'aretz? Now, Chutz La'aretz in that context means outside of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Because the Maamar goes like this. There's no din of Burgenin in Bavel, and there's no din of Paseh Beiraot in Chutz La'aretz. This is another one of the Gemara's tricks in which we meet the idea of Burgenin for the first time as an introduction to the issue of Tchumi. And what Burgeninin mean is this. Remember that a tchum begins always at the edge of the city, right? So where does the city end? Well, the city ends with its last homes. Okay, but how far out of the city is the last home? Well, the last home has to be within the classic size. What's the classic size? The Chatzar HaMishkan, of course. So the Chatzar HaMishkan, being 5,000 square amot, if we actually take the square root of that, we end up with a little bit beyond 70, right? So that means that the maximum distance between the end of one home and the beginning of the next home, in order for it to be considered as an extension of the city, would be 70 plus amot. We'll get to the details later. So that din does not apply to Burgenin. What are Burgenin? Burgenin are these little huts that are used for people on the road. They may be those little portable bathrooms, the porta potties would be a Burgenin, or a watchman's hut, but some type of structure that's used for people and their usage. And if that's within 70, that should be okay, but not in Bavel for some crazy reason. And there's no Paseh Beiraot in Chutz La'aretz. You remember from Gittin that Chutz La'aretz includes not Bavel, but areas outside of Bavel. Why? Well, the Burgenin is simply because Bavel has a lot of flooding, and the flooding will generally flush away any of the porta potties, excuse the pun. And the Paseh Beiraot, the reason that there's no Paseh Beiraot is because Paseh Beiraot are actually only mutter for, we only learned Ole Regolim so far, but the truth is Paseh Beiraot are for any traveling that has to be done Litzorchei Mitzvah. So the big travel that needed to be done Litzorchei Mitzvah was getting to Yeshiva. So all of the people used to travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, from all over Bavel to get to the various Surah, Pupadisa, and so on, Narda. And so because of that, they did the same takana of travel, which took a couple of weeks, and they allowed you to use Paseh Beiraot. But in other countries, there's no din of using Paseh Beiraot because they're not going there Litzorach Mitzvah. So B'chutz La'aretz lo, de'lo shchichei metifta. But Ibcha Avdinan, you can certainly have the din of Burgenin in other countries, and you could certainly utilize the idea of a Paseh Beiraot where it is necessary. Ikeni Amri, others say no. He was actually more machmir, and he said you cannot have Burgenin or Paseh Beiraot, neither in Bavel nor in Chutz La'aretz. The reason in Burgenin, we said, is because of flooding. But you can't use Burgenin even in other places because these kind of places are so isolated that they will often simply be taken away. Someone will come along with a truck, will pick up the porta potty, put it in the back of a truck, and drive off. So since we have so many Ganavim, we don't consider those homes to be usable extensions of the city boundaries, and therefore we won't allow Burgenin anywhere. And Paseh Beiraot, that's in Bavel. The reason we don't allow Paseh Beiraot in Bavel, according to this new strict interpretation, is because there's so much water in Bavel and there's no need to be matirit. And the reason we don't allow it in other countries is because there's no tzorchei mitzvah over there. Amalei Rav Chisdal Mori Bereid Ravuna Bereid Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Now this begins a very fascinating, doesn't seem to make any sense on the surface. It seems to be a direct discussion of the idea of bargaining, which is really not our sugya, so it's a little bit strange that we moved on to bargaining here. And it goes like this. There was this little shul in Bavel, and it was a shul that was a tourist attraction because Daniel, the original Daniel, used to actually daven in that shul. And that was his home, and that's what the reference is to the pasuk in Daniel that talks about that Kvin, he was b'chaven pitchin light towards Yerushalayim in his upper chambers over there, even during the period where there was a government edict against davening and so on. This became a very popular site to go and to daven there, to have the schus of Daniel. So anyways, Rav Chisda talks about this case where somebody was Mori Bereid Ravuna. We'll see that he continues on discussing Mori in the next generation as Mori quoting Rav Chisda, that how is it, people tell me you got all the way from Barnish to this shul on Shabbos. Now that is a long distance, way outside of the Tchum. I don't understand how you allowed yourself to walk all the way there. I mean, is it because of the fact that there's all of these porta potties or these burgenin on the way, and you were so much on the burgenin? The problem is that your grandfather was the one who was quoting Rav to say ein burgenin bebavel, and that was who we were just quoting this whole time, was Mori. So it was your grandfather. How do you ignore his psak? So what Mori did over here was he took Rav Chisda for a little tour, and he showed him these towns that he was not aware of. This was, of course, was actually Nachi that was taking him around. These were churvas. As you could see, Nachi lives in front of these churvas. And if you want to just show us a different background of these churvas that were up around there in Bavel, there were a lot of towns that had been around that area. That Barnea's trying to get into the line. Here we go.
I'm in the Korban of Bias Rishon here. We don't need models. We don't need fake backgrounds. This is the ash. These are things which are destroyed. There's junk candles here from the Malchus. I'm in the Korban of Yerushalayim. So let's just keep the father-son balance in place.
Okay. All right. We got it. Okay, so he showed him all of these old cities that he wasn't even aware existed. So, he cuts back the trees and the overgrowth, and there's a bunch of old cities in between. And if you take those into consideration, it turns out that the Tchum keeps going further and further until it gets all the way up to his ability to get to the Beit HaKnesset of Daniel. A strange interlude, which then takes us into a remarkable set of drushes. Now, the inyan of this of these drushes is a really most extraordinary thing, which has everything to do with Erevin, even though it doesn't seem to have anything to do with Erevin on the surface. And what the Gemara attempts to do is to figure out the relationship of the elements of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is basically what we've been talking about, how it is that the Rabbanan have given us all of these complex new kinds of ways of measuring the idea of mechitza. And this is triggered by Rabba's statement yesterday that the idea of the Pase Beraot is that it becomes a mechitza. You'll remember this, and it sounds like a small point, but it was a profound insight that Rabba was saying. Normally, remember, we say that you are allowed to be semich on the status of something in terms of the urine and things like that, on what it was at the moment that Shabbos came in, right? So when it came to Muktzer, it came to the urine, that doesn't change. And if you lose the urine, you gain the urine, we had a machlokas whether that could maybe the ikar is the de jure or the ikar is the mechitza. But the bottom line is there's grounds to say that it goes according to the status of Shabbos qua Shabbos. So if what it was at the beginning of Shabbos continues. Rabba says that the dinim that we've been discussing over here in terms of mechitzas are literal dinim of mechitza. So in other words, either it is a mechitza or it's not a mechitza. In which case, whether it's made on Shabbos or whether it's unmade on Shabbos would be determined by the presence of water, which was a tremendous chiddush. And because what it means is that it's not the status of the use of the mechitza, it's the definition of mechitza. Now, if that's the case, what we're talking about for the first time is recognizing that there's an entirely different definition of a fundamental concept in the Torah, which we were had at the beginning of the Masechta, Big Shirin, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which are extensions of the Rabbana. You will recall that this is an extremely early extension, something that Avram Avinu himself was aware of because of the fact that the Vayishmor Mishmarti brings him into the issue of Erevin. And we've understood that Erevin really touches on the roots of the human condition, which is why we have all of the machlokas in the Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, even to the point of Noach Lodom, Libarot, the dualism in the original creation, the male, female, the front, back, and so on. All of those things are very fundamental to the concept of where we belong in the world and in the universe outside of ourselves. For the first time, we want to discuss the universe outside of ourselves literally as an entity. So the question is here, what is the relationship of the information of Torah as a whole? Remember that we have this idea of the extensions of the Rabbanan on the Torah, of the way that we're able to open it up. And we talked about Rabbi Akiva and the Tilei Tilim Shel Halachas and so on and so forth, that are merumas on every different level, even in the Torah Shebiksav, that turn into elements of information in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, we know that there is certain, if we look at Bria in total, including the entire universe or multiverse, whatever Bria consists of, it consists ultimately of information. That's clear. So the question is, the information in the Torah, if we imagine it to be actual information that we could put into a container. Okay, the normal container for information in those days, the medium, of course, was writing. It doesn't mean that there's actual letters, but ink on a background was the first way in which people actually, it didn't have to be ink, obviously. It started off earlier with styli that were into wax or into rocks and so on. But the one that is most effective that we use for the Sefer Torah itself is parchment and ink. So what the Gemara wants to do over here is look at the sum total of information in the Bria as a whole and how that compares to the theoretical information that can be derived from Torah through the Torah Shebaal Peh. Which means that for the first time, despite the fact that you are not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, we understand that there needs to be a way to talk about the information of Torah Shebaal Peh qua information. So for all intents and purposes, we're going to pretend that we have a waveform, so to speak, for the Torah as a whole. And we want, for the first time, to analyze that information in terms of the Bria's information. Now, for some reason or another, this connects directly to the story of the ancient cities that are now invisible to us, and you need to know about them because they're under the surface and will redefine the Tchum for you, and the Mokum of Daniel, and there's a reason why it starts with Daniel, because the truth is, this is the way the Marsha understands the Sugya, that the truth is there are four different dimensions that need to be taken into consideration. Each one of those dimensions adds an order of magnitude to the information, obviously. And because of that, we have four different references to the extent of Torah that are connected, the pshat of the Torah in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh, the drush of the Torah in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Maisa Bereishis in the Torah in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Maisa Merkav of the Torah in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh. Each one of these adds a different level of information. not a different level, I say actually a different order of magnitude of information. And therefore, we're going to go through the various places where these things are referred to in this drasha, and therefore they are ultimately extensions of the types of things that were shown to Daniel as a theory. He had no idea of what it was, the actual content that he was looking at, but he recognized that he was in so much above his head that he literally fainted. So Omer of Chista, Doresh, Mori Barmar, my dichtiv lechotich lara itikets, rechava mitzvotech va'od. So we're talking about something that if I look at the physical universe, I can imagine an end in which I'm able to get all of the information. But when it comes to Torah, shoof, it's much broader than that. Now, Dover Zamro David, but he didn't say how much broader. Eov spoke about it and gave more detail, but also did not say the exact measurements. Yechezkel spoke about it also, although he extended the order of magnitude by including Maaseh Bereishis, until Zechariah ben Iddo arrived and he actually explained it. So let's go through the steps. David said, L'chol tichla ra'iti ketz, and he gives one geometric dimension, Rechava mitzvotecha ma'od, right? So that's one dimensional. Eov spoke about it, and he gave two dimensions. Aruka mi eretz mida, urechava mineyam. So now he's talking about length and width, which means that we're talking about a two-dimensional Torah. And he says, look, I can only tell you that it's oruch from the earth and it's rechava from the sea. Yechezkel spoke about three dimensions because he said that he saw this vision of vayifros otalefanai. It was spread out. All the information was spread out in front of me. V'iktuva panim v'achor, and it was not only two-dimensional, but it was added an additional information on the back, which means that I needed to take a look at it from both points of view. So that means I've added now a different order of magnitude. And on it was said, this contains all the kinim v'hege v'hi. Now, kinim refers to understanding everything that takes place in the universe in terms of the things of the human condition that drive us crazy, which where do we see that? Because it says kinag hivikonenua. Heger refers to happiness, that's higayon, and that's music. So that's referring to matan tzchorim shel tzadikim latidavo, v'cheinu omer, alei higayon b'chinor. And he, that refers to puranatan shel rishayim latidavo, v'cheinu omer, hove al hove tavo. And therefore, it means that those three dimensions were necessary to try to get a sense of what's really going on in the world. But we don't know how much information that is vis-a-vis the rest, the universe itself. Until Zechariah ben Iddo gave actual dimensions. And he said, to the Malach says to him, Vayom Reilai, Ma Ataroe, what exactly are you looking at? Va'omar, so he says, well, I'm looking at this Megillah, which seems to be flying, which means that it's folded into two, as if it's got wings, right? So I see this Megillah that's folded into two. Its length is 20 amos. Its width is 10 amos. Now, if it's folded into two, you have to unfold it. If you do unfold it, then you've got to make it 20 by 20 because it was only 10 because it was folded. Now it's 20 by 20. Plus it's written front and back. So let's take the information on the back and include it in the front. So if you peel the back off, so to speak, and make that all the same area that you can look at, so then you would have 40 by 20 amos, right? Now we're talking about over here a vision of God's writing. So the Malach is showing Zechariah, okay, this is the information that God has on this Megillah, which includes all of the possible ultimate interpretations, as the Rambam points out, Moshe Rabbeinu's sense of kol tuvi, and it's 40 amos by 20 amos, which is 800 square amos, but the thing is that the entire Shamayim was created, if we're talking about this metaphor of God's writing, it uses Shamayim is created with a zeret. Now, a zeret is a half of an amma, which means that it's a quarter of a square amma, right? And if that's the case, if you got one zeret by one zeret includes the entire universe, so that if you take a look at the relationship, the ratio of the information in the universe to the information that is contained in the possibilities of Torah is 1/3200, which means that the information of the entire Bria is 1/3200 of the information that you would need to be to, which obviously puts it sort of out of reach, to say the least. And so indeed, Rav Chisda says, look, another thing, that this is also from Mori Bar Maar, it's all part of my conversation over here. Of course, it's through generations, just like the Beit HaKnesset of Daniel and these hidden cities. So Dorish Mori Bar Maar, that when we have this mashal that is shown to Yirmiyahu, and he sees these two gigantic pots of their dudaim. Dudaim means that they're pots. And one of these pots is full of, they're both full of te'inim. One of them is te'inim tovot me'od. They're sitting at the, in front of the heichal. One of these are beautiful, beautiful figs. They're like the te'ini abikurot. They're like, wow, the first ones that they blossom up first, so they're ready and ripe. And one of them is te'inim ra'ot me'od. They're horrible. They're so horrible, they're inedible. So this is referring to tzadikim gemurim and rishayim gemurim. So the beautiful te'inim are tzadikim. The other one are rishayim. And the problem is that horrible things are said about these te'inim, because this talks about what's going to be happening to Yerushalayim. So first, the Te'inim HaTovot are going to be going into Bavel, and that includes the Chachomim and the Charesh and the Masger, and they set up the Torah in Bavel, and they are the absolute creme de la creme of Bnei Yisrael. And then these terrible Te'inim are going to be coming, and those terrible Te'inim, it gives an awful Nevi'ah to, because it continues on to say, Unetatim lizva'a, lera'a, lechomam, lechot ha'aretz, lecherpa, lemashal, lishninal, my God, leklala, bechol ha'mekomot asher adichem. And then it says, v'shilachti b'hem et ha'chera, v'et ha'ra'a, v'et ha'dever, atumam, mi'aladim, and they're gone. I mean, it sounds like it's hopeless. So therefore, you would think, said Mori Bar Maar, you may think, that Shema Tomar, Avad Sivram Ubatal Sikuyam. It's all over for them. There's no hope. There's no future at all. Therefore, I want you to know that the remez of Dudaim, which means pots of Te'inim, is also merumez in Shir HaShirim, where it says, HaDudaim Natnu Reach. Obviously, that's really referring to these beautiful, how do we usually translate that, those delicious smelling... you say it in English, you know, dudaim. Come on, guys. What, that night flowering?
Mandrakes.
Thank you, right? Yeah. So usually translated as jasmine. They translate as violets, but that's not. Okay. So you've got this amazing, amazing flowering dudaim, but the dudaim has a double meaning, because dudaim also means the dudaitainim, which means both of them, elu ve'elu, both dudaim are ultimately going to be Natnu Reach, and the beauty of the Bnei Yisrael of both of these different goluyot in Bavel is going to come out. Darash Rava, what exactly is the meaning of Adudaim Natnu Reach, Al Ptachenu, Komegadim, and like, what's the relationship of Dudaim to Ptachenu? So Dudaim, the simple meaning of Dudaim, and this was the whole story of Reuven and the Dudaim and Torah Shebaal Peh and Chanukah and how it relates to Chanukah and the Midrashim. So this refers to lovers, young lovers, or Dudaim. So this refers to Bachurei Yisrael, who have never slept with a woman, Shelo Kedin, Shelo Ta'amu Ta'am Chet, and now they are taking a wife. Al Petachenu Kol Migadim, we're darshaning that to mean, that on the Petachenu, which means the body opening, so it's a reference now to, again, the same way that was to the males, to genitalia. Over here, it's also referring to genitalia, and it means that the Benot Yisrael are Migadim, they're Magidot Pitcheyem Lebaleyem. So if they have any Sofek Nida, they are magidot. Or it could be another thing. It could be migadim is ogdot. So these are girls that keep themselves closed, so to speak. They've got a chastity belt, so to speak, which prevents anybody else from relating to them, only their husbands. So they're completely loyal. Chadashim gam yishanim dodi tzafanti lach. And then it continues on, which says, what does that mean? Old things, new things, I've hidden these things. This is Knesset Yisrael saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, there's more derabbanans than there are deoraisas. So chadashim gam yishanim, you should know, harbei gzeirot gazarti al atzmi, my God, all of the gzeirot derabbanan, yoter mimah shegazarta alai, v'keyam tim. I kept all of this. So that's chadashim gam yishanim, the new things are the things that are coming midarabbanan. So you wanted to know, do you have a pshat in chadashim gam yishanim? And he said, yeah, that's a reference to mitzvahs kalos, mitzvahs chamuras. That's ridiculous. I mean, what does that have to do with new and old? The Torah wasn't given in different stages. That's not the pshat. One is divrei Torah and one is divrei seferim. That's the pshat, which is, that's the difference between new and old. So then Rava wanted to know, and this goes directly back to the question of the information in the Torah. So it says over here that the Yoter Me'ema B'ni Yizahar, so Koheles ends with a warning that more than these, you got to be careful about, which is Asot Sfarim Harbei Ein Ketz, making endless number of books. The lahag harbe yigiat basar. What does that mean exactly? So Rava explains it like this. Bani, it means yoter mi'ema, more than you had on divrei Torah, hizaher on the sfarim harbe, which are the divrei sofrim. Because you have to be more careful about divrei rabbanan than you do about divrei Torah. Divrei Torah, there's things that are a mitzvah asay, there's things a mitzvah lotas, which would be a lav, you'd be chayiv malchus and so on. But divrei sofrim, the ignoring divrei sofrim and being loeg al divrei chachomim, that would be mechayiv you misa, because ignoring the divrei sofrim is not that you're doing something because you have a taiva to do it, so b'meila you over an isser, you ate chaz or whatever. It means that you're ignoring the whole essence of the development of Torah's information. Then you'd be chayev misa, because that's dvar Hashem baza. Shema tomar. So I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, I mean, come on, if the Rabbanan were really, I mean, if this stuff is so chashuv, why isn't it written in the Torah? How come the Torah? God doesn't seem to care about it. So why should I care about it? So mivnei ma lo nichtavu. That's why Shlomo continues to say, asot svarim arbe ein ketz. The ability to actually write all of this is impossible because it's a continuously developing thing. This is your business. Whatever you've discovered, fine, write it down. But you cannot actually have a Torah shebiksav that will include this information. The lahag harbe yigiat basar, omrev papa bereder of acha bar adam, mishmeder of acha bar ula. This is a lotion of lahag, malamish kol hamalik, people that are mocking towards the chachamim, they end up like Biff, where he always piles into that truck full of you know what. And that's nidon b'tsoa rotacha. That's boiling, you know what? And it's all fresh. So, you know, it's back to the future. You just keep bumping into that truckload. Matkifla Rava, that's not a good drasha because it doesn't say lahag basar. It says lahag. Lahag doesn't mean to laugh at. Lahag means to learn. Higayon. Ela kol ha'ogebahem, what it means, the correct shot is the more you think about what it is that you're learning and you expand it in your mind, you're always tasting the beef. Toim tam basar, you're getting deeper and deeper into the real content of what's there. Tana Rabbana. There was a mice with Rabbi Akiva who was chovush v'beit asur, and there was in prison, and Rabbi Yudah Garsi used to bring him what he needed for the day. And every day he would bring him a certain amount of water that was sufficient for his needs of that day. And one day, the bastard at the door, the prison guard, finds Rabbi Yehuda Garcia and he says, what do you need all this water for? I mean, are you planning a prison break? Like you're trying to use the water to soften the ground and you're going to dig your way out. He pours out half of the water. A tragedy. Because he was bringing exactly enough water for Rabbi Akiva to be able to survive on. So Rabbi Yehuda Garcia, Rabbi Shua Garcia comes in. He brings the water to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is devastated. He says to him, my son, my life is dependent on you. How could you bring me this little bit of water today? So he told him everything that happened. So Rabbi Akiva said, okay, so give me the water and I'll do Netilat Yadayim. He says, Netilat Yadayim? You don't have enough to drink. You can't do Netilat Yadayim. You're going to be Litro Yadayim. Rabbi Akiva says, what can I do? I mean, to ignore the Darabonon is to be Mechayev Misa. I'd rather die from starvation or from dehydration, and rather than to go and to do something myself, to be Oivra Adas Chaveirai. And he refused to eat anything unless they would allow him to wash Netilat Yadayim. So when the Chachamim heard about this, they said, oh my God, this is an old man, right? So Ma Bezeknuto Kach, imagine how strong this guy was when he was younger. And if this is the way that he acts under these circumstances in a Beit HaAsurim, imagine Shalom Beit HaAsurim when he had the opportunity to be makpid on every Kutzer Shel Yud, which of course Kutzer Shel Yud was exactly Rabbi Akiva. Imagine what must have been like. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, this takona, these original takonas, are two interrelated takonas. One of them is Erevin, and the other one is Netilas Yadayim. Because it was Shlomo HaMelech who made both of those original takonas. Remember, we had that Shlomo HaMelech's takona, we were talking about in Masechet Shabbat, of Netilat Yadayim, was originally only for Kutchim. Okay, but at the time of that first takona, a Basco comes out. Remember about Basco's here. A Basco comes out and says, "Bini im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani," and it says, "Chacham bini v'samach libi v'yashiva chorpi davar." So this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like absolutely ecstatic, similar to what happened in Maaseh Bereishis when the Dishoyim took the first step of Torah Shebaal Peh in the universe, which means that they evolved on their own the way they needed to. And this is the whole idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore there was Simcha, and that's the Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. So Dorash Rava, when it says, these are the psukim directly before all of that. What do they have to do with it? How does that introduce this? So what is this? Come, my lover. Let's go out to the fields. Let's live in the small villages. Let's get up early, go out to the vineyard. Let's see if the vines are flowering, if the blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates are complete, and there I will make love to you. So what is this all about? This is Knesset Yisrael saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, do not judge Klal Yisrael by Borough Park, please. Al tidin eni ki yoshvei krachim. If you live in the big cities, you know what happens. Gezel, Arayot, Shvuat Shav, Shvuat Sheker, you can't live there like a human being. Let's go out to the fields where people are struggling, they're sitting, working on the earth, they're making a living. Come. Let me show you, Ribbono Shel Olam, Talmidei Chachamim, they're being Eiskim Betera, Mitoch Hadchak, they're working on the farm, they're going to Bar Ilan, whatever it is that they're doing, there they are in Tzfat, and they're being Eisik Betera as they're walking into school. And Nalina Bakfarim, let me show you the difference between us, Klal Yisrael, and the Goyim. That's not Kfarim, that's the Kofrim. Take a look at all of these people. Rich as could be. You gave them everything they need. Take a look at how much they care. And all they do is they're Kofer. Nashkima lakramim. Let me get up. Let me show you about the Knesiot. Let me show you about the Midrashas. Take a look over there. There's the Porcha Geffen. Those are the kids. They're just starting to learn. Those are the people that know Mikra. Pitacha Simadar. Simadar is already a little bit of maturation of the grape. They're already learning Mishnah. And here's the pomegranates. These are the Bali Gemara filled with all of this immense material. Shametena Dodailach. There I'm going to show you what my love has produced for you. Arach Kvodi Vigodli Shevach Banayu V'natai. Omar of Amnuna, when it talks about Shlomo HaMelech, it says that he, Vayedaber Shloshet Alafim Mashal, he spoke 3,000 Mishalim, and his songs, he made 1,005 different symphonies. So this teaches us that Shlomo HaMelech spoke every word of Torah, 3,000 different ta'amim that he gave over as ways that you could metaphorically understand it. And al kol davar v'davar shel sofrim, anything that the rabbonim were mechadesh, he gave 1,005 symphonic explanations for. Dorash Rava, my dechtiv yoter shayak elat chacham odli madat etam izein chikiker dekein mishalim harpe. So besides being so deep, he taught people, he listened, and he set things up in ways that were metaphors. What does it mean? He taught them. What did he teach them? The first thing he did was Ma'agmer b'simani ta'amim. He gave them the simanim, which are the trup that we have, the simanim of the trup for the actual reading of Torah Shebiksav, and he did the same thing of simanim in Torah Shebaal Peh. And he explained everything with metaphor. B'maididamile. Izein v'chiker. This lashon of izein says Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar that first the Torah used to be like this big, gigantic basket. It didn't have oznaim. Oznaim are the handles you could pick it up with. And basically, there was no way to handle it. Interesting, we use that in English. There was no way to handle Torah. So he made it handleable, and that's literally the word izein. He put on handles, he made it handleable. So by making the takonas that he made, the original mishmaras, and the way to understand it, he made it possible to be shomer, the dinim of the Torah, by not coming to be in a matzav of where you're too risky and you're already close to the actual iser. Okay, Rabosai, now it's time for us to move on to our Kalim. So we'll stop this recording with these beautiful Inyanim go on tomorrow as well. So we've been talking about the Inyanim of Erevin, whether it's in terms of the Rabbanan's description of the nature of Mechitza or the nature of where to measure the Tchum, and the original takonas of Erevin Netilat Yadayim, the stories of Rabbi Akiva, who of course was exactly the one who was Dorash al Kotz v'Kotz, Tilei Tilim shel Halachos, which of course we'll be getting to tomorrow, the drasha on that. And that is all insights into the ideas that are finally being brought out over here in Pasei Beiraot and the interrelationship of the actual takon of Pasei Beiraot to learning, because you're only allowed to use Pasei Beiraot if you're coming up to be one of those Bikurei Te'enim, right? Either to come up to the Beis HaMikdash, you're coming up to the yeshiva to learn, and so on.